Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So let's chant that. What Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted? Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam. Haribol. That was pretty sweet. Okay, so we're going to read from the Bhagavatam today. About worshipping of Govardhan Hill. And, of course, the lifting of Govardhan Hill. When I was reading this morning, I thought, wow, I haven't read this in a long time. I don't think I even read it last year or the year before. But after reading it, I was thinking that how beautiful it is to read about Krishna's pastimes. And I was just thinking in my mind, comparing to what other religions or teachings out there that are today, and what do they give us in terms of understanding God and what God is doing and what he likes to do and why he does it. And I had a hard time really remembering anything, even in my Catholic background, anything like that. I mean, it's just that, you know, you learned or heard about Jesus and some of his activities, which were very small. It was just a certain section of his lifetime. And then you did hear more a little bit about his disciples. But about Jesus, hardly anything. And about God, hardly nothing. Literally. Except that he's an old man or that he's condemning people to hell. But what kind of activities does God do? What does he actually like? No idea. You can ask a person in the street, what does God like? And they'll say, well, I don't know. They'll tell you straight out, either that or they'll say something that's like really like nonsense. So after reading, I was just thinking, wow, this Vedic scripture, it gives us so much information about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And just by reading it, I was realizing a little bit that how important it is, because Bhagavatam says, Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana, that if we hear this message of the Bhagavatam about the pastimes of the Lord, Punya Shravana, become purified from sinful activity, sinful desires, one's heart becomes softened, and one becomes very a lover of God. And I can't say that that is anything that I've heard on any other level of God consciousness. So I was thinking how fortunate we are that here in this movement, we have this great opportunity. And I was thinking, are we taking advantage of it? Are we really taking advantage of this opportunity to hear about the Supreme Lord, to become purified and really develop a sincere desire to go back home, back to Godhead? And it's something that we should ask ourselves regularly. And I only became a little bit curious about that is because when I read this, it was so beautiful. How beautiful it is that God will come in a child form and he'll allow people to serve him, worship him, And then when he needs to show his prowess or his power, he does it in a flash. And Krishna's Yogeshwara. He's the mystic, the supreme mystic. So, you know, sometimes people think, well, he's lifting the Govardhan Hill with his pinky. But, and how is that possible? Because they don't realize that Krishna is a supreme mystic. Like out in the space, there's so many planets, so many universes, and they're all just floating, just like this earth is floating. How is that going on? How is that actually happening? It's by Krishna's mystic power. So for him to be a little boy and pick up this Govardhan Hill with his pinky, because he's Yogeshwar. He's a supreme mystic. He doesn't need to pick it up with his little pinky. He just desires the hill to go up, and it'll go up, just by his potency. So this is God. And we're so fortunate that we came across a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada that took that message and brought it to us here in the Western world. So how lucky we are to have this opportunity. So today's a great day to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in one of his most, I guess you'd say, most famous pastimes. The Damodar month is very, very popular throughout the world. I think yesterday, Tadit was showing me a video on a phone that they were having the Light Festival in Washington, D.C. And at the same time, they were doing fireworks. We were just watching. I was like, wow, just tons of fireworks, beautiful fireworks, celebrating Diwali. And then at the same time, she was saying that there was a meteor, right? T, what was that? Meteors were flying at the same time? Huh. Yeah. So, how beautiful all these things are. And they're all in relationship to Krishna. It's amazing. Everything's in a relationship to Krishna, in some form of Krishna. And that's really what the purpose of life is, to learn all these different activities of Krishna. And by that, we become purified. So today we're reading the Worshipping of Govardhan Hill by the residents of Rajabhumi. And Krishna is going to be explaining eventually to them what the real purpose is of all these yajñas. And it doesn't mean worshipping the demigods. Okay. Worshipping Govardhan Hill. Okay. While engaged with the brahmanas who were too much involved in the performance of Vedic sacrifices, Krishna and Balaram also saw that the cowherd men were preparing a similar sacrifice in order to pacify Indra, the king of heaven, who is responsible for supplying water. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a devotee of Krishna has strong and firm faith in the understanding that if he is simply engaged in Krishna consciousness and Krishna's transcendental loving service, then he is freed from all other obligations. A pure devotee of Lord Krishna doesn't have to perform any of the ritualistic functions enjoined in the Vedas, nor is he required to worship any demigods. Being a devotee of Lord Krishna, one is understood to have performed all kinds of Vedic rituals and all kinds of worship to the demigods. One who does not develop devotional service for Krishna by performing the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or worshiping the demigods, but it should be understood that one who is engaged fully in the service of the Lord has already fulfilled all Vedic injunctions. In order to stop all such activities by his devotees, Krishna wanted to firmly establish exclusive devotional service during his presence in Vrindavan. Because he is the omniscient personality of Godhead, Krishna knew that the cowherd men were preparing for the Indra sacrifice. But as a matter of etiquette, he began to inquire with great honor and submission from elder personalities like Maharaj Nanda. And that understanding too, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, tesam satatam yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam didami buddhi yogam tam yenamam yupayanti te. Is that those who are constantly devoted and who are serving Krishna with love, Krishna says that I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So this is the principle. So the more we understand Krishna's pastimes and we serve Krishna in those pastimes, especially Damodar Vrata, we serve Krishna, Govardhan Hill, then we'll be able to come closer to Krishna and love Krishna. Okay. Krishna asked his father, my dear friend, what is that, this arrangement going on for a great sacrifice? What is the result of such a sacrifice? And for whom is it meant? How is it performed? Will you kindly let me know? I am very eager to know this procedure. Please explain to me the purpose of this sacrifice. Upon this inquiry, his father, Nanda Maharaj, remained silent, thinking that his young boy would not be able to understand the intricacies of performing the yajna. Krishna, however, persisted. My dear father, for those who are liberal and saintly, there is no secrecy. They do not think anyone to be a friend, an enemy, or a neutral party, because they are always open to everyone. And even for those who are not so liberal, nothing should be kept secret from the family members and friends, although secrecy may be maintained for persons who are inimical. Therefore, you cannot keep any secrets from me. All persons are engaged in fruitive activities. Some know what these activities are, and they know the result, and some execute activities without knowing the purpose of the result. A person who acts with full knowledge gets the full result. One who acts without knowledge does not get such a perfect result. Therefore, please let me know the purpose of the sacrifice you are going to perform. Is it according to Vedic injunction, or is it simply a popular ceremony? Kindly let me know in detail about the sacrifice. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yagnata kamano niyatra, loka yam kama bandhana, mukta sangha param braja, mukta sangha samachara, that's it, tad artam kuntiya, mukta sangha param, mukta sangha samachara. Very important. Mukta Sangha Samachara. It says that work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be formed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, please perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction. And that way you become unattached and free from bondage. Basically, that particular verse describes the whole Krishna conscious movement practically. First of all, Krishna is Brajapati. Brajapati means that he's the creator of all living entities. And he's the protector of everyone. Krishna created this world for us to be able to understand or learn how to perform yajna. And we see the Krishna conscious movement is based on that performance, on that principle, how to perform yajna, how we should sacrifice for Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure. So that while we are in this material world, if we perform this sacrifice properly, we can live comfortably without any anxiety. And after leaving this body, we can go back home, back to Godhead. So the whole science of Krishna consciousness is focused on that principle, to perform some yajna, some sacrifice for Krishna's pleasure. From that principle, we can live peacefully. We can become freed from anxiety and stress. And that's the principle of why and what we do here. So that's our whole program. And by this yajna, we can gradually become Krishna conscious, hopefully. In this age of Kali, that Sankirtan yajna is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, as recommended by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva Nasteva, Gatya Anyata. So the chanting of the holy name, there's no other way, no other way, no other way. And Lord Chaitanya came and he introduced this to us for the deliverance of everyone in this age of Kali. And Krishna himself came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Varnam Tisa Krishna Sango Pangasa Parsadam. Yajnai Sankirtan Pranar Yajanti Hi Sumedha Saha. So in this age of Kali, if people have any intelligence, any substance of intelligence, that they'll worship the Lord who's accompanied by his associates by the performance of Sankirtan Yajna. So this is our position. And this is according to the Bhagavatam and how we should perform our yajna, our activities of sacrifice, and who it should be done for. And in Krishna consciousness, this chanting of the holy name is essential. From hearing the holy name, we become purified. We become lovers of God. Very, very simple. We're not even qualified to do all kinds of different yajnas in this age of Kali Yuga. No one is so brahminically perfect or expert that we can perform these yajnas. Okay, going on. On hearing this inquiry from Krishna, Maharaj Nanda replied, "My dear boy, this ceremonial performance is more or less traditional. Because rainfall is due to the mercy of King Indra and the clouds are his representatives, and because water is so important for our living, we must show some gratitude to the controller of this rainfall, Maharaj Indra. We are arranging, therefore, to pacify King Indra because he has very kindly sent us clouds to pour down a sufficient quantity of rain for successful agricultural activities. Water is very important. Without rainfall, we cannot farm or produce grain, and without grain, we cannot live. Therefore, rain is necessary for successful religious ceremonies, economic development, and ultimately liberation. So we should not give up this traditional ceremonial function. If one gives it up, being influenced by lust, greed, or fear, then it does not look very good for him." End of quote. After hearing this, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the presence of his father and all the elder cowherd men of Vrindavan, spoke in such a way as to make the heavenly king Indra very angry. He suggested that they forego the sacrifice. His reasons for discouraging the sacrifice performed to please Indra were twofold. First, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, there is no need to worship the demigods for any material advancement. All results derived from worshiping the demigods are simply temporary, and only those who are less intelligent are interested in temporary results. Second, whatever temporary result one derives from worshiping the demigods is actually granted by the permission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita, "Mayaiva vihitan itan." Whatever benefit is supposed to be derived from the demigods is actually bestowed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without the permission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot bestow any benefit upon others. But sometimes the demigods become puffed up by their influence of material nature, thinking themselves all in all. They forget the supremacy of the Personality of Godhead. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is clearly stated that in this instance, Krishna wanted to make King Indra angry. Krishna's advent was especially meant for the annihilation of the demons and the protection of the devotees. King Indra was certainly a devotee, not a demon. But because he was puffed up, Krishna wanted to teach him a lesson. He first made Indra angry by stopping the Indra Puja, which had been arranged by the cowherd men in Vrindavan. Krishna says, "Paritaranai sadunam vinasaya chaduskritam dharmasam stampanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge," that he actually comes to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants. This is Krishna's position, as well as to reestablish religious principles. And he says he comes million after millennium in this particular case, in this particular circumstance. With this purpose in mind, Krishna began to talk as if he were an atheist supporting the philosophy of karma mimamsa. Advocates of this philosophy do not accept the supreme authority of the Personality of Godhead. They put forward the argument that if anyone works nicely, the result is sure to come. Their opinion is that even if there is a God who gives man the result of his fruitive activities, there is no need to worship him because unless man works, he cannot bestow any good result. They say that instead of worshiping a demigod or a god, people should give attention to their own duties, and thus the good result will surely come. Lord Krishna began to speak to his father according to these principles of the karma mimamsa philosophy. Quote, "My dear father," he said, I don't think you need to worship any demigod for the successful performance of your agricultural activities. Every living being is born according to his past karma and leaves this life simply taking the result of his present karma. Everyone is born in different types of species of life according to his past activities, and he gets his next birth according to the activities of this life. Different grades of material happiness and distress, comforts and disadvantages of life are different results of different kinds of activities from either the past or present life, end of quote. Maharaj Nanda and other elder members argued that without satisfying the predominating God, one cannot derive any good result simply by material activities. This is actually the fact. For example, it is sometimes found that in spite of first-class medical help and treatment by a first-class physician, a diseased person dies. It is concluded, therefore, that first-class medical treatment or the attempts of a first-class physician are not in themselves the cause of curing a patient. There must be the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, a father's and mother's taking care of their children is not the cause of the children's comfort. Sometimes it is found that in spite of all care by the parents, the children go bad or succumb to death. Therefore, material causes are not sufficient for results. There must be the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nanda Maharaj therefore advocated that in order to get good results for agricultural activities, they must satisfy Indra, the superintending deity of the rain supply. Lord Krishna nullified this argument, saying that the demigods give results only to persons who have executed their prescribed duties. The demigods cannot give any good results to the person who has not executed the prescribed duties. Therefore, demigods are dependent on the execution of duties and are not absolute in awarding good results to anyone. So why should one care about them? My dear father, Lord Krishna said, there is no need to worship the demigod Indra. Everyone has to achieve the result of his own work. We can actually see that one becomes busy according to the natural tendency of his work. And according to that natural tendency, all living entities, whether human beings or demigods, achieve their respective results. All living entities achieve higher or lower bodies and create enemies, friends, or neutral parties only because of their different kinds of work. One should be careful to discharge duties according to his natural instinct and not divert attention to the worship of various demigods. The demigods will be satisfied by proper execution of all duties, so there is no need to worship them. Let us, rather, perform our prescribed duties very nicely. Actually, one cannot be happy without executing his proper prescribed duty. One who does not, therefore, properly discharge his prescribed duties is compared to an unchaste wife. The proper prescribed duty of the Brahmanas is the study of the Vedas. The proper duty of the royal order, the Kshatriyas, is engagement in protecting the citizens. The proper duty of the Vaishya community is agriculture, trade, and protection of the cows. And the proper duty of the Shudras is service to the higher classes, namely the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and the Vaishyas. We belong to the Vaishya community, and our proper duty is to farm, to trade with the agricultural produce, to protect cows, or to take to banking. Oh, it's up on there, okay. Krishna identified himself with the Vaishya community because Nanda Maharaj was protecting many cows and Krishna was taking care of them. He enumerated four kinds of business engagements for the Vaishya community, namely agriculture, trade, protection of cows, and banking. Although the Vaishyas can take to any of these occupations, the men of Vrindavan were engaged primarily in the protection of cows. Krishna further explained to his father, this cosmic manifestation is going on under the influence of three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. These three modes are the causes of creation, maintenance, and destruction. The cloud is caused by the action of the mode of passion. Therefore, it is the mode of passion which causes the rainfall. And after the rainfall, the living entities derive the result, success in agricultural work. What then has Indra to do with this affair? Even if you do not please Indra, what can he do? We do not derive any special benefit from Indra. Even if he is there, he pours water on the ocean also, where there is no need of water. So he is pouring water on the ocean or on the land. It does not depend on our worshiping him. As far as we are concerned, we do not need to go to another city or village or foreign country. There are palatial buildings in the cities. There are palatial buildings in the cities, but we are satisfied living in the forests of Vrindavan. Our specific relationship is with Govardhan Hill and Vrindavan Forest and nothing more. I therefore request you, my dear father, to begin a sacrifice which will satisfy the local brahmanas and Govardhan Hill, and let us have nothing to do with Indra. End of quote. After hearing this statement by Krishna, Nanda Maharaj replied, "My dear boy, since you are asking, I shall arrange for a separate sacrifice for the local brahmanas in Govardhan Hill. But for the present, let me execute this sacrifice known as Indra Yajna." But Krishna replied, "My dear father, don't delay. The sacrifice you propose for Govardhan and the local brahmanas will take much time. Better take the arrangement and paraphernalia you have already made for the Indra Yajna and immediately engage them to satisfy Govardhan Hill and the local brahmanas." Maharaj Nanda finally relented. The cowherd men then inquired from Krishna how he wanted the yajna performed, and Krishna gave them the following directions. Prepare very nice foods of all descriptions from the grain and ghee collected for the yajna. Prepare rice, dal, then halava, pakora, puri, and all kinds of milk preparations such as sweet rice, rubri, sweet balls, sandesh, rasgulla, and ladu. And invite the learned brahmanas who can chant the Vedic hymns and offer oblations to the fire. The brahmanas should be given all kinds of grain in charity. Then decorate all the cows and feed them well. After performing this, give money in charity to the brahmanas. As far as the lower animals are concerned, such as the dogs, and the lower grades of people, such as the chandalas, or the fifth class of men who are considered untouchable, they also may be given sumptuous prasadam. After nice grasses have been given to the cows, the sacrifice known as Govardhan Puja may immediately begin. This sacrifice will very much satisfy me. End of quote. In this statement, Lord Krishna practically described the whole economy of the Vaishya community. In all communities in human society, including the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishya, Sudras, Chandalas, and so forth, and in the animal kingdom, including the cows, dogs, goats, and so forth, everyone has his part to play. Each is to work in cooperation for the total benefit of all society, which includes not only animate objects, but also inanimate objects like hills and land. The Vaishya community is specifically responsible for the economic improvement of the society by producing grain, by giving protection to the cows, by transporting food where needed, and by banking and finance. From this statement, we learn also that although the cats and dogs, which have now become so important, are not to be neglected, cow protection is actually more important than protection of cats and dogs. Another hint we get from this statement is that the chandalas, or the untouchables, are also not to be neglected by the higher classes and should be given necessary protection. Everyone is important, but some are directly responsible for the advancement of human society, and some are only indirectly responsible. However, when Krishna consciousness is there, then everyone's total benefit is taken care of. The sacrifice known as Govardhan Puja is observed in the Krishna consciousness movement. Lord Chaitanya has recommended that since Krishna is worshipable, so his land, Vrindavan and Govardhan Hill, is also worshipable. To confirm this statement, Lord Krishna said that Govardhan Puja is as good as worship of him. From that day, Govardhan Puja has been going on and is known as Anukut. In all the temples of Vrindavan or outside of Vrindavan, huge quantities of food are prepared in this ceremony and are very sumptuously distributed to the general population. Sometimes the food is thrown to the crowds and they enjoy collecting it off the ground. From this we can understand that prasadam offered to Krishna never becomes polluted or contaminated, even if it is thrown on the ground. The people therefore collect and eat it with great satisfaction. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna therefore advised the cowherd men to stop the Indra Yajna and begin the Govardhan Puja in order to chastise Indra, who was very much puffed up at being the supreme controller of the heavenly planets. The honest and simple cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, accepted Krishna's proposal and executed in detail everything he advised. They performed Govardhan worship and circumambulation of the hill. Following the inauguration of Govardhan Puja, people in Vrindavan still dressed nicely and assembled near Govardhan Hill to offer worship and circumambulate the hill, leading their cows all around. According to the instruction of Lord Krishna, Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men called in learned brahmanas and began to worship Govardhan Hill by chanting Vedic hymns and offering prasadam. The inhabitants of Vrindavan assembled together, decorated their cows, and gave them grass. Keeping the cows in front, they began to circumambulate Govardhan Hill. The gopis dressed themselves very luxuriantly and sat in bull-driven carts, chanting the glories of Krishna's pastimes. The brahmanas assembled there to act as priests for Govardhan Puja, offered their blessings to the cowherd men and their wives, the gopis. When everything was complete, Krishna assumed a great transcendental form and declared to the inhabitants of Vrindavan that he was himself Govardhan Hill, in order to convince the devotees that Govardhan Hill and Krishna himself are identical. Then Krishna began to eat all the food offered there. The identity of Krishna and Govardhan Hill is still honored, and great devotees take rocks from Govardhan Hill and worship them exactly as they worship the deity of Krishna in the temples. The followers of the Krishna consciousness movement may therefore collect small rocks or pebbles from the Govardhan Hill and worship them at home, because this worship is as good as deity worship. The form of Krishna, who began to eat the offerings, was separately constituted, and Krishna himself also, along with the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, offered obeisances to the deity as well as Govardhan Hill. In offering obeisances to the huge form of Krishna and Govardhan Hill, Krishna declared, quote, "Just see how Govardhan Hill has assumed this huge form and is favoring us by accepting all the offerings," end of quote. Krishna also declared at that meeting, quote, "One who neglects the worship of Govardhan Puja as I am personally conducting it will not be happy. There are many snakes on Govardhan Hill, and persons neglecting the prescribed duty, prescribed duty of Govardhan Puja will be bitten by these snakes and killed." In order to assure the good fortune of the cows and themselves, all people of Vrindavan near Govardhan must worship the hill as prescribed by me, end of quote. Thus performing the Govardhan Puja sacrifice, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan followed the instructions of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, and afterwards they returned to their respective homes. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 24th chapter of Krishna, worshipping Govardhan Hill. Haribo! So we'll just finish up with devastating rainfall in Vrindavan. It'll take probably 5 minutes more. When Indra understood that the sacrifice which was to be offered by the cowherd men of Vrindavan had been stopped by Krishna, he became angry, and he vented his anger upon the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who were headed by Nanda Maharaj. Although Indra knew perfectly well that Krishna was personally protecting them, as a director of different kinds of clouds, Indra called for the Samvartaka, This cloud is invited when there is a need to devastate the whole cosmic manifestation. The Samvartaka was ordered by Indra to go over Vrindavan and inundate the whole area with an extensive flood. Demonically, I guess, Indra thought himself to be the all-powerful Supreme Personality. When demons become very powerful, they defy the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead, Indra. Indra, though not a demon, was puffed up by his material position, and he wanted to challenge the Supreme Controller. He thought himself, at least for the time being, as powerful as Krishna. Indra said, quote, "Just see the impudence of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They are simply inhabitants of the forest, but being infatuated with their friend Krishna, who is nothing but an ordinary human being, they have dared to defy the demigods." Krishna has declared in the Bhagavad Gita that the worshippers of the demigods are not very intelligent. He has also declared that one has to give up all kinds of worship and simply concentrate on Krishna consciousness. Krishna's invoking the anger of Indra and later on chastising him is a clear indication to his devotees that those who are engaged in Krishna consciousness have no need to worship any demigod, even if it is found that the demigod has become angry. Krishna gives his devotees all protection, and they should completely depend on his mercy. Indra cursed the action of the inhabitants of Vrindavan and said, quote, "By defying the authority of the demigods, the inhabitants of Vrindavan will suffer in material existence. Having neglected the sacrifice of the demigods, they cannot cross over the impediments of the ocean of material existence." End of quote. Indra further declared, "These cowherd men in Vrindavan have neglected my authority on the advice of this talkative boy who is known as Krishna. He is nothing but a child, and by believing this child, they have enraged me." End of quote. Thus he ordered the Samvartaka cloud to go and destroy the property of Vrindavan. "The men of Vrindavan," said Indra, "have become too puffed up over the material opulence and are overconfident due to the presence of their tiny friend Krishna. He is simply talkative, childish, and unaware of the complete cosmic situation, although he is thinking himself very advanced in knowledge. Because they have taken Krishna so seriously, they must be punished. They should be destroyed with their cows." In this way, Indra ordered the Samvartaka cloud to go to Vrindavan and inundate the place. It is indicated here that in the villages or outside the towns, the inhabitants must depend on the cows for their prosperity. When the cows are destroyed, the people are destitute of all kinds of opulences. When King Indra ordered the Samvartaka and companion clouds to go to Vrindavan, the clouds were afraid of doing this mischief. But King Indra assured them, "You go ahead, and I will go also. And I will also go, riding on my elephant, accompanied by great storms. And I shall apply all my strength to punishing the inhabitants of Vrindavan." Ordered by King Indra, all the dangerous clouds appeared above Vrindavan and began to pour water incessantly with all their strength and power. There was constant lightning and thunder, blowing of severe wind, and incessant falling of rain. The rain seemed to fall like piercing sharp arrows, by pouring water as thick as pillars. Without cessation, the clouds gradually filled all the lands in Vrindavan with water, and there was no visible distinction between the higher and the lower land. The situation was very dangerous, especially for the animals. The rainfall was accompanied by great winds, and every living creature in Vrindavan began to tremble from the severe cold. Unable to find any other source of deliverance, they all approached Govinda to take shelter at his lotus feet. The cows, especially being made aggrieved from the heavy rain, bowed down their heads, and taking their calves underneath their bodies, they approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead to take shelter of his lotus feet. At that time, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan began to pray to Lord Krishna. "Dear Krishna," they prayed, "you are all-powerful and you are very affectionate to your devotees. Now please protect us. who have been much harassed by angry Indra. Upon hearing their prayer, Krishna could understand that Indra, being bereft of his sacrificial honor, was pouring down rain that was accompanied by heavy pieces of ice and strong winds, although all this was out of season. Krishna understood that this was a deliberate exhibition of anger by Indra. He therefore concluded, "This demigod who thinks himself supreme has shown his great power, but I shall answer him according to my position, and I shall teach him that he is not autonomous in managing universal affairs. I am the supreme lord over all, and I shall thus take away his false prestige, which has risen from his power. The demigods are my devotees, and therefore it is not possible for them to forget my supremacy, but somehow or other he has become puffed up with material power and thus is now maddened. I shall act in such a way as to relieve him of his false prestige. I shall give protection to my pure devotees in Vrindavan, who are at present completely dependent on my mercy and whom I have taken completely under my protection. I must save them by my mystic power." Thinking this way, Lord Krishna immediately picked up Govardhan Hill with one hand, exactly as a child picks up a mushroom from the ground. Thus he exhibited his transcendental pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill. Lord Krishna then addressed his devotees, "My dear devotees, my dear father, my dear inhabitants of Vrindavan, you can now safely enter under the umbrella of Govardhan Hill, which I have just lifted. Do not be afraid of the hill and think that it will fall from my hand. You have been too much afflicted from the heavy rain and strong wind. Therefore, I have lifted this hill, which will protect you exactly like a huge umbrella. I think this is a proper arrangement to relieve you of your immediate distress. Be happy along with your animals underneath this great umbrella." Being assured by Lord Krishna, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan entered beneath the great hill along with their property and animals, and they all appeared to be safe. The inhabitants of Vrindavan and their animals remained there for 1 week without being disturbed by hunger, thirst, or any other discomforts. They were simply astonished to see how Krishna was holding up the mountain with his little finger of his left hand. Seeing the extraordinary mystic power of Krishna, Indra, the king of heaven, was thunderstruck and baffled in his determination. You didn't hear it? Okay, let me say it again. Okay. So, seeing the extraordinary mystic power of King Indra, the king of heaven, was thunderstruck and baffled in his determination. He immediately called for all the clouds and asked them to desist. When the sky became completely cleared of all clouds and there was sunrise again, the strong wind stopped. At that time, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known now as the lifter of Govardhan Hill, said, "My dear cowherd men, now you can leave and take your wives, children, cows, and valuables, because everything is ended. The inundation has gone down, along with the swelling waters of the river." All the men loaded their valuables on carts and slowly left with their cows and other paraphernalia. After they had cleared out everything, Lord Krishna very slowly replaced Govardhan Hill in exactly the same position it had been before. When everything was done, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan approached Krishna with feelings of love and embraced him with great ecstasy. The gopis, being naturally very affectionate to Krishna, began to offer him yogurt mixed with their tears, and they poured incessant blessings upon him. Mother Yasoda, Mother Rohini, Nanda, and Balaram, who is the strongest of the strong, embraced Krishna one after another, and from spontaneous feelings of affection, blessed him over and over again. In the heavens, different demigods from different planetary systems, such as Siddhaloka, Gandharvaloka, and Charanaloka, also began to show their complete satisfaction. They poured showers of flowers on the surface of the earth and sounded different conch shells. There was beating of drums, and being inspired by godly feelings, residents of Gandharvaloka began to play on their tamboras to please the Lord. After this incident, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, surrounded by his dear friends and the animals, returned to his home. As usual, the gopis began to chant the glorious pastimes of Lord Krishna with great feeling, for they were chanting from the heart. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 25th chapter, Krishna, devastating rainfall in Vrindavan. Sri Govardhana ki jai. Okay. Thank you for your patience and your support. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we'll see everybody at the afternoon program. We're beginning at 4:30 with kirtan, but at least be here for the Govardhan circumambulation. And then after that, we'll go into the kirtan at 6:30 p.m. Okay? And then Krishna Prasadam. Hari Bol.